Bryce will help Armando adjust to the culture, and plus he can also chat the patois and, you know, do all that stuff and help him. But I am very glad to be here, and we're very thankful to this church for its consistent, monthly, never-miss support of our ministry. It helps us greatly. In fact, it is so consistent that I can budget it because I know it's coming. Amen? So give yourself a clap. All right. But, you know, I'm a teacher of the word, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time chatting with you. I'm going to teach you the word. And I'm going to believe that it will minister to your heart. And I'm going to believe that the Lord will lead me by the Spirit of God to touch you, to lay my hands on you. And none of you are too far away from me. Since I've got this roving mic, I can walk anywhere. Amen? But today's message is called Rich Towards God. A lot of us want God to be rich towards us. But God is a reciprocal God. He wants you to act first. And then he will respond to your action. Amen? So look at Luke. At chapter 12. Let me get this gadget here turned on. Yes, Father God. Oh, a movie came up. Has everyone gotten used to these things? Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. I want to read this first before I break it down a little bit. Okay? You have your Bibles or your pads or whatever, your phones, and if you can get to that chapter, Luke 12, verse 13. And it's called the parable of the rich fool. The parable of the rich fool. Let me tell you something. If you don't know God, and if you don't know his ways, and you don't know his teachings, and you don't know how he feels about money, you can become a rich fool instead of being rich towards God. Then one of the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Some of you are old enough that family members have died or a parent has died. And after the funeral and everything, none of you. But we get into the squabbling and how we're going to split up what's there. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Verse 14. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." All over the world we have bandits, thieves. In Jamaica, we have the scammers. And as they start to make the money, these guys can tell you, as they start to make the money, they're 19 and 20 and 21 years old, and they're driving Benzes. They're driving all the fancy cars. There's no way at that age they could ever have made enough money in the right way to buy a car like that. Or they start building beautiful houses with that stolen money. And of course, because they've been thieves, they don't trust anybody. So around that house, they build big 8, 9, and 10 foot high walls. And they fill their yards with all these dogs. Are you hearing me? But when you're righteous, you don't need to have a fence. To keep thieves out. You have to have a fence in Jamaica to keep the cows out. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." And he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, the word fool just give me chills. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he who lays up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. Now let me break this down a little bit. Am I okay? I'd like you to talk to me, you know. I like you to talk back to me. But I don't want you to yell at me. If you have a question about anything, you can ask Pastor after the service. Okay? Now in verse 14 it says arbitrator, which really means divider. And Jesus is really saying here, you figure out what's right. In other words, we're not to have somebody arbitrating for us. We're not to have somebody telling us how to divide things up. We're supposed to figure that out ourselves. Are you hearing? Verse 15 in the New Century Version says this, and Jesus said to them, be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much one owns. Now, believe me, God wants you to have a nice car. God wants you to have a nice house. God wants you to have a nice bank account. But you don't need us to be greedy. You know which bank account of mine that has most of the money in it? My heavenly one. You see, this trip before we're getting ready to come here, I didn't see very much money. Then all of a sudden, poof, poof, poof. Do you know on this trip I haven't had to even use a credit card for anything? I've had all this cash. Hallelujah. But we didn't get that by stealing. We didn't get that by cheating. We got that by giving to God, being rich towards God. Jesus said to them, careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much one owns. Don't be looking at what other people have. Our life or standing with God isn't measured by what we have. It's measured by our relationship. What was the first thing you did when you woke up this morning? Say it again. Talk to the Lord. Do you have a plan of what you're going to do with God every morning? That will determine your relationship. If you just get up and eat breakfast without even saying, good morning, Lord. You don't have to do what I do, but I read 10 chapters of the Word before I do anything in the morning. That's how I got this word here. I was reading and all of a sudden, poof. And God gave me this word for this trip, so he gave me this word for you. Our life or standing with God isn't measured by what we have. It's measured by your relationship. How are you in God? It's measured by your righteousness. I have one young man in Jamaica who doesn't want to get baptized in the water because he figures if he sins, he's going to go to hell. He hasn't been able to accept the fact that ask Jesus into your heart and you're saved. And when you make a mistake, just get forgiven again. You understand? How is your relationship? When you screw up, do you ask God to forgive you? When you insult somebody, do you stay mad at them? Or do you get right with them? You see, all of that has to do with your wallet. It's measured by your relationship. It's measured by your righteousness. And it's measured by, believe me, Pastor didn't tell me what to preach. It's measured by what you give. You want love? Give love. You want your budget to be met? Give to God. And whoever he tells you to give to. I still remember God leading me on my last trip to the United States. We're going into a grocery store, Mary and Bryce and Kim Arley. And I bought some shorts. They were too big for me. And as I was walking across the parking lot, they fell off.
Oh my.
What a stir that caused. But I saw this guy. I knew he was sleeping in his car. Remember Kim Arley? And I went up to him. And we witnessed to him, and I put $20 in his hand. He didn't ask for nothing. He was happy that we prayed for him, tried to encourage him. But see, God, I've already reimbursed for that. You understand? Be rich towards God. Verse 16 says, and he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. Having things, wealth, house, etc., doesn't measure who you are. Verse 17 says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? The man was making so much that instead of investing it in other people or being rich towards God, he figured he better build bigger barns or open up a new savings account. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in savings. But the main savings account is in heaven. I have a savings account at Wells Fargo. But if Wells Fargo goes broke and I lose my money, I'm still all right because I have a bigger savings account in heaven. Proverbs 13. I have to take my time here, you know? Proverbs 13. And 13. And verse 22. In the Amplified Bible. This was interesting to me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We've all heard that before, haven't we? The Amplified makes it a little different. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance. Now, when I thought that before, I was thinking about money. It's not money. The Amplified Bible breaks it down a little more. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness. So the best things we can give our children is being moral and being good. Oh, hallelujah. I know I'm right when I get the chills. And it's not because it's cold in here. A good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Oh, hallelujah. You'll never forget me. Kim Marley does that too. He likes to sit in the back of the church. Right, Ramondo? Mm-hmm. Read it again. A good man leaves an inheritance, not so much of money, and it's not wrong to leave your children some money, but more important to leave them a moral stability and goodness. Set an example of being moral and being good. You hear that? And then the wealth of the wicked they'll get. Here. The wealth of the wicked they will get. I don't hear noise. They don't amen in this church. You know? You hear it? No amen? Just say, if you can't say amen, say, oh me. Oh my. Let me go. Give me time here because this thing don't always work real well here. I'm just learning this stuff here. Back to Luke chapter 12. And I want to go to verse 18. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my storehouses and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain or produce and my goods. That's in the Amplified Bible. Let me go to the New King James. Someone has their phone on. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll store all my crops and my goodness. What we still have stored on earth is not real wealth. Am I okay? What we store on earth is not real wealth. That's just light bill money, grocery money. What we have is real wealth. Earthly wealth can be lost. What we have stored with God is secure and available when we need it. I just give you an example. Just a week before we were coming to the States, I was wondering, man, I had the tickets paid for. But, so I just pray. And a very large donation came in. Hallelujah. Amen. And then another donation came in. Hallelujah. And I know there's the next one coming in on Tuesday. Hallelujah. And Raimondo's pocketbook is getting fuller and fuller. By the way, you don't mind me talking, right? I don't think Raimondo has ever received a Pentecostal handshake. You know what that is, don't you?
Yeah. Okay.
You put $10 in your hand and you shake his hand and leave it there. He doesn't have $10. You give him one. Amen? Earthly wealth can be lost. Verse 21. So he who lays up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. But he who plants in God's kingdom deposits in his own heavenly bank account. Some are just looking at me. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 6 and verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what the word says. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment means sufficiency. It means an equal amount of something that is enough. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in budgeting. I believe when you get your paycheck, you know you got this and that to take care of and you need to budget it. But your real bank account is in heaven. So if godliness and contentment is great gain, then having God is just enough. that having God is great gain. You see, if we just learn to do it God's way, we have all we need. I went to Jamaica with $57. That's it. In 1976. Sometimes I say to myself, I need to get back that $57 faith. Never even thought how anything was going to take care. How I was going to do this or do that. In the first 6 months, I only received $75 in love offering. But God gave me a father in the Lord named Menzi Oban. And he put me up in his house. I had my own bedroom, my own bathroom. And took care of me for 6 months. Here, God will provide. God will provide. He's 80. What is he, 88 now, isn't he, guys? He's not remembering everybody and everything anymore, but he's still kicking. Still going to church. Still got his Bible. The ministry is still going on. Amen? Let me go to this next page here. Am I okay? Yeah. Verse 6 says, serving God does not make us very rich if we are satisfied. Excuse me. Serving God does make us very rich if we are satisfied with what we have. Now, this rich is not so much dollars in your pocket. This rich is feeling something from God. Knowing that God has your back. He has you covered. Makes you feel rich. And there's no banking hours. You don't have to wait till the ATM machine opens up that you can go in and get something. God has his own ATM machines everywhere. Amen? Is it okay? Because some people don't like you to come to the church and talk about money. But God talks about money in the Word more than he talks about anything. God supplies all we need in response to our obedience. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now that rich is the money, cash. We can get caught in all kind of different things. Lotteries. You know, I don't always blame the scammers in Jamaica for taking the money from the old people. I do when it's the hit people that have Alzheimer's. But why in the world, if we have everything working right in our head, would we want to respond to somebody we don't even know and send them $1,500 or $2,000 or some even send up $100,000? Why would we want to do that? Because we're not rich towards God. I'm getting in trouble. I read in a Jamaican newspaper a little while ago about a lady in Miami who wasn't rich towards God. And she embezzled millions and millions and millions of dollars. She got caught. She tried to pay the money back. She paid back millions. She's still got 6.5 years in prison. We need to be rich towards God. I'm going to say that, and I hope that when you go to bed tonight, rich towards God. Rich towards God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says, oh, I missed something here. The key to God's sufficiency is giving, not cheating of any kind. If we can teach our children at this young age to give uninhibitedly, they'll have all they need when they grow up. 2 Corinthians verse 9 and verse 8 says, and God can give you more blessings than you need. then you will always have plenty of everything, enough to give to every good work. Are you looking for where you can give some money? Keep looking. And give where God tells you to give. And he'll be rich towards you. You'll be rich towards him. He'll be rich towards you. Now, I just want to touch another little area here, and please bear with me. This is called steps to being rich towards God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Can a person cheat God? You've all heard this verse. Let me ask, don't answer my question. You've heard this verse, but have you done what it says? Don't answer. Don't answer. Pastor says, don't raise your hand. Brother Buck, great Father God, I thank you for my brother. You touch him in his body. Restore everything now in Jesus' name. Buck, you'll probably remember Ramondo and Kimarley. What was the last thing I said? Oh, you're answering. What was the last thing I said? Huh? Can a person cheat God? Can a person cheat God? Yet you are cheating me. But you ask, how are we cheating you? When you don't bring a tenth of your income and other contributions, that's how we cheat God. So here's four steps to being rich towards God. One, your tithe. You make $100, that's $10, not $8.50. And it's the first thing that comes out. I'm sure Pastor has taught you this before. It is the first thing that comes out. You don't pay your bills, and then what's left you give. You get $100. It doesn't matter if you're a young person getting an allowance. That's your income, 10%. I know some young people in this room that may not do that every week. You're not going to look that way. Let me look at you. Tithe, 10%. Now, what's the second thing? Offerings. Donate to every good work. When a guest speaker comes in and your pastor says it's a good work, donate. Yes, he loves it, but it's to your benefit. Or she loves it, it's to your benefit. Then the next thing, number three, is save. Save. Donate, you name the amount. But that's when the windows of heaven will open up to you. So the more you donate, the bigger the window opens. Save. My wife and I have determined that every month we save a certain amount of money. It doesn't look like much, but it adds up. There? And then, what do you think the fourth thing is? The first thing is tithe. The second thing is donate. The third thing is save. What's the fourth? Spend. Spend. Pay your bills. Go to the grocery store. You might say, but Brother Bob, I don't have that much income. Start out with what you have. Believe God. Before you know it, you'll be able to buy much more groceries. You'll be able to leave your lights on all the time. You'll be able to fill your tank up every time you go to the gas station instead of a little $5 or $10. I'm telling you the truth. Proverbs 18:20 says, people will be rewarded for what they say. They'll be rewarded for how they speak. So when you give, confess God's word over it. You hear? Are you hearing? Now, anybody ever heard of Warren Buffett? You know, he doesn't have any problem with money. You know that, right? Here's a quote. Do not save what is left after spending. Do not save what is left after spending. But spend what is left after saving. If you buy things you do not need, you soon will have to sell the things you need. Warren Buffett. Do not save what is left after spending, but spend what is left after saving. If you buy things you do not need, soon you will have to sell the things you need. Praise the Lord. Is this all right? Did you learn? Are you mad at me? The word is finished. I got a chance to pray for Buck back there. I want to have a chance to pray for anyone that needs prayer. But I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor or her daughter. I don't know who I'm turning it over to. You? Okay. And then she will lead from there. Amen? Sure. Yeah.
I didn't tell him to preach that, but that was good. What every pastor likes him. Blue,
am I on? Woo. Okay, I'm on. Hallelujah. Come on up here, Bob. Good, good. So I have been just meditating in the Word, and I read John chapter 6 probably about 8 times since the first of the year. And I'm going to tell you the story, and then we're going to pray, and we'll do what God says. But John chapter 6 is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And Jesus had crossed over to the Galilee, and this huge crowd was following him. So he starts heading up the hill. It was like, man, they're still after me. And he heads up the hill, and he sits down with his disciples. So he's on the top of this hill. And he looks out at this crowd that is following him, pursuing him, because the day before he had prayed for people and they had miracles happen. People were being healed. So I would follow Jesus. How about you? Jesus healed your body when you follow him?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I like my doctor. I try not to visit him, but he's nice. But I would rather go to Dr. Jesus and have him heal my body. So I would pursue him. So that's what happened. Huge crowds following Jesus. So he goes up on the hill and he pokes Philip. Hey, Philip, how are we going to feed all these folks? Oh. and there's this huge crowds. And Philip's going, what, are you kidding me? There's not enough, you know, money to feed this. It'll cost a fortune. Excuse me. It'll cost us a fortune to feed these people. And then Andrew, one of the other sidekicks of the 12, says, hey, Jesus, there's this little kid over here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus says, bring them. Bring those 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Have everybody sit down. And the reason why the Lord brought this scripture up to me is those 5 loaves and 2 fishes did something incredible. Incredible. They fed, and the calculation is like there's 5,000 men. Well, those men come with the women, and the women come with 2.5 kids. So how many thousands of people we got? Do the math. Or turn on your calculator. So 5 loaves, 2 fishes fed everybody with leftovers.
Yes.
So it's not the big amount that you have when God speaks to your heart. It could be the, we call it chump change. It could be the pocket change. If God speaks to your heart, obey him and watch what he will do. So we are going to receive an offering for Bob and Mary Holland for the work that God's called them to do for how many years now?